I'll be honest with you. It's funny how the Lord works things. Because I really did. I showed back up. Jimmy says, "You're preaching tomorrow?" I said, "No, actually I'm not." I said, "I'm just going to be sitting out there getting preached at." And Brother Larry read something this morning, and I kept reading, and he quit. And he went to another verse, and I'm like, okay, well, I went on about my business, but I kept going back over there, and I don't know, the whole time I was eating lunch, it just kept bothering me, and I'm like, all right. So I said, all right, Lord, that's where we'll go. So we're going to go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. You get there, say amen. It is a blessing to... I talked to my daughter, and this morning, I guess... Well, we're pretty vocal as a church, which is a good thing. I've been in a lot of churches that aren't. It's not a bad thing. They just ain't that away. And I didn't want to... I've listened to my daughter's preacher a lot. And every now and then I'll hear him stop and he'll say, amen. And everybody will, amen, you know. But you don't hear a lot of amens while he's preaching. Well, we got the opportunity to go there, and I'm sitting, well, we were on like the second row, I think. And I said, amen, brother. And boy, he focused on me. And all of a sudden, he kind of rose in his volume, and he got excited a little more, and you know me, but I kept it on a low key. I didn't, hey, amen, you know, and you know, I didn't want to embarrass my daughter. I think, well, yeah, where's he from? But he mentioned it, so I'm gonna have to listen to his sermon. But he mentioned it this morning in his sermon that Jesse's dad really encouraged him. So I'm glad that took place, because I know he's been down. There's a lot of things that happened. Plus, he lives in Michigan. I mean, you know, that's hard to be really encouraged in Michigan for a number of reasons. I mean, they got Whitler as a... I mean, what's her name? Whitler. They got cold, and it's gray and rainy, and so, you know... But I get it, but no, I'm just picking. But I was glad that it encouraged him. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and I want to start with verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Let's bow. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we do ask for your forgiveness of our sins and where we fail you. Lord, each one of us on a daily basis do so. And Lord, we're sinners saved by grace. Lord, I know we're to reach out daily. And Lord, we're to fight ourselves daily, as Paul told us. He beat himself into subjection. Lord, just give us the strength to do so. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And Lord, I do depend on that. But Lord, sometimes I do get weak. Sometimes I fall. Lord, I ask forgiveness for that. And Lord, for our nation. I ask forgiveness for our nation and the things that we allow in this country to go on daily. And Lord, I ask that you would bless tonight. That Lord, you would fill us with your Spirit. And that Lord, we can leave here knowing that Lord, we need to be reaching for you more. And we need to build a better relationship with you more. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse, he stopped there. And he went on, but I kept reading. He said, now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. You know, when I looked at it, I'm like, well, wait a minute. Is that the writer's eyes or is that the Lord's eyes? And I went back and read it again. I'm like, that's the Lord. The Lord says, now mine eyes shall be open. So in other words, if we'll turn from our wicked ways, if we'll pray to the Lord, we'll seek His face. He says, as Brother Larry said this morning, He'll turn from what He was going to do, which if you read this passage, they didn't. They ended up going into captivity. They had lots of problems, but and I know a lot of things, as he mentioned in the Old Testament, doesn't really apply to us, but this does. Amen. And he says, if we'll turn our face to Him, if we'll seek Him in prayer, he says, mine eyes shall be open. He says, my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Now, as he mentioned this morning, the church is a special thing. The Lord Jesus died for the church. Now, I'm going to say this, and I'm good at saying this, and I'm not going to call it gemology because I believe it's biblical, and I believe the Lord teaches it. The church is not all the saved. It's not. It's not everybody that has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is a special group of people that the Lord, He started. And when you become a part of that, and it doesn't matter what people think, I'm not saying, hey, we're better than other Christians. I'm not saying that. We're going to hold a different place than other people that are saved. Because the church is what's going to be with the Lord and rule and reign. It was, as Brother Tom mentioned tonight in a class, you know, what are we going to be doing here for 1,000 years? Well, he mentioned we're going to be ruling and reigning with Christ. This is true. But not every Christian out there is part of that. The Word of God teaches us that. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Who is that written to? That's written to the entire world. Now, Acts 20:28 is a whole different deal. Amen. Acts 20:28, the Lord says that, Paul said, the Lord said it through Paul. But Paul said, Jesus died for the church. He gave His blood for the church. That was what He started. It's a whole special thing. When we become part of a scriptural New Testament church, we become a group of people that the Lord empowered. And He did that in Matthew 28. He was about to leave. And He says, all power is given unto Me, and I'm giving it to you. Who was He talking to? When you look it up, He's talking to His apostles. Possibly there was 120 standing there. He said, I'm giving this power to you. He didn't say to all these people out here. He said, to you. You see, if we could grasp, really, the power and the ability that the church has to function the way they did back then, we could blow people's minds today. Amen. But we don't. We don't. We saw it the other day, honestly. It had nothing to do with me. Didn't have nothing to do with the ones that laid their hands on Sister Lori. But we pray. Listen, Sister Lori's been on antibiotics for a long time. In and out of the hospital. None of it was working. And the Lord laid it on my heart to have special prayer for her. There were several men come up here and we went in a circle and we prayed over Sister Lori. And less than a week, they said, you don't have this problem anymore. That they had told her she's always going to have. It's gone. Now, it may be back in another month. That's the Lord's business. But right now, it ain't. And so I believe there's power in prayer. Go over to Acts chapter 12. Hang on to 2 Chronicles. And we'll come back. Acts chapter 12. That's over in the New Testament, by the way. Not far past Genesis, but a little ways. Acts 12, and I'm not going to read all of this, but, well, we might. Verse 1 says, "Now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword." That was nice. John and James, sons of Zebedee, fisher, they're partners with Simon, Peter, and he reaches out and he beheaded James. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four... Say it, Sandy. Yeah, of soldiers. In other words, kind of like a little platoon. Special forces. And they were to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. In other words, by the way, if anybody ever tells you Easter ain't in the Bible, you can tell them, yeah, it is. I don't think it had anything to do with Peter Cottontail, but nonetheless. we had a rabbit in the backyard this morning, didn't find an egg one. But anyway, we're wrong time of year. He intended right after that, he going to chop Peter's head off too. I mean, they liked it so much when he removed James's head, he's like, well, Peter, listen, he wasn't stupid. He knew who Peter was. Peter had been around a long time. He also knew how outspoken Peter was. He had intentions of getting rid of Peter. That would have been a hard thing if they'd lost Peter. Peter opened the door to the Gentiles. And when he, verse 4, "And when he had apprehended him, put him in prison. And then Peter therefore was kept," in verse 5, "in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came unto him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote him on his side." In other words, he walked up and he went, he hit him on his side. He didn't just, "Peter." No, it says he smote him on his side. And Peter and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself. Bind on thy sandals." So he did. And he said unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee. Follow me." Here Peter is. Peter knows he's about to die. Herod said he's going to kill him. That was the intentions. He knew he already killed James. But Peter's asleep. That sound like somebody's about to die? He's relaxed. He's sitting there with the chains on, got a soldier on both sides. And I would say the angel probably says, "Hey, Peter, yo, Peter." You know, he's, "Peter, you need to get up." "What?" I'm that away. 2 or 3 in the morning, I'm like, "What?" I don't forget what happened. Sandy said something to me over the time we've been gone, and I'm like, "What?" I'm looking around like, "Where are you at?" Peter is asleep. Angel gets him and says, "Come on." He leads him out, and Peter's still like, "Huh?" I'm going to be honest with you. Peter knew that Herod wasn't going to kill him. He really did. Now, the people at the church didn't, that were praying continuously for him. They didn't know this. Peter knew it. James knew it, but James is dead. John knew it, but John wasn't with him. Because the Lord had already told Peter, one of these days, when you get old, Peter, they're going to haul you off somewhere. You know, Peter knew he had work to do. He's laying there, he's depending on the Lord, but that's another message. So he gets him outside, Peter wakes up, and he's like, oh, wow. Well, the church has been praying, and Peter's out there. Rhoda shows up. Oh, it's Peter. She runs back inside. It's like, she's probably blonde. She didn't open the door. I'd open the gate and let the man in. She goes inside. She said, Peter's out here. No, that's his angel. No, Peter ain't out there. You done flipped your wig. But then they figured out it was Peter. You know, there are two things that we can get from this. That, and we desperately need in the church. For one, bless you. We need to pray, and the Bible says pray without ceasing. And I think we should. I think we should be praying, and what's that mean? Well, Lord, blah, 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 blah. Lord, blah, blah, blah. You can't do that all day long. Some of you got to drive. Some of you need to be doing other things. It means it's leaving it open. So in turn, that means you don't need to be doing things you ought not to be doing, so you ain't got to stop and say, Lord, forgive me of that, that, and that, oh yeah, and that. We need to leave our communication open, which is means we need a closer relationship with the Lord. The closer relationship we got to the Lord, the more it's at your fingertips. Isn't that what Ma Bell used to say? Let your fingers do. No, that's the Yellow Pages. You know, right there. Man, that's telling you how old I am. You know, I got a phone book the other day. And who was it? Avery was with me. He said, what's that, Pop? I said, it's a phone book. He said, a what? I said, it's got telephone numbers in it. That's sad. But anyway, he don't know. He grew up in a different world. But we need to have that open communication at all times. That's important. And when the Lord does something, we don't need to say, huh? No, we need to say, hey, glory, hallelujah. We need to be excited about it. In other words, they were praying, and I don't want to knock them because they were praying. And people say, well, the angel is who got Peter out of jail. True, but prayer fetched the angel. You know, the prayers went up to heaven, and the Lord Jesus, He hears them. God hears them. What did it say in 2 Chronicles? I will hear it. I'm going to be attentive to it. He listens to us. His eyes are open to what we're praying about. He listens to our prayers, and He said, go get Peter. You know, I don't know how he summons his angels. That's the way I'd do it. I'd say, whoa! You know, Gabriel! That's just me. But he sent him down there and got him. But they were shocked that Peter actually showed up. Yeah, and I kind of know how they feel, because I was sitting there on in my office studying when Lori called me, and I'm like, oh, wow. You know, to a point I was shocked, but I was also speechless. I didn't really know what to say. And actually, I had to call her back later and talk to her because I just didn't know what to say. And really, what you say is, amen, hallelujah, you know. But we need that. We need prayer, and we need it to be, we need that relationship with the Lord to stay open. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't get that confused. Matthew 3:11, the Bible says that what's his name? John the Baptist. He was preaching. He said, "Hey, I baptize repentance with water." He said, "There's one that's going to show up," and I'm paraphrasing. That's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. That's not salvation.
Amen.
When you study Matthew 3:11 out, it's not salvation. It's the filling of the Holy Spirit. Acts 4:8 says Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. That was long after Pentecost. He was filled with the Holy Spirit that day. He was filled several other times with the Holy Spirit. It says in Acts, the church was filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, they had control. The Holy Spirit had control over you. Ephesians 5:18. It says, I'm going to paraphrase again. Don't be controlled by wine, but be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, you can take a swig of Jack Daniels, you got some Jack Daniels in you. But you drink most of that fifth and you're controlled by it. That's what he was talking about when he said in there, don't drink wine in excess. He said, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to control you. And when that happens, you're being filled with the Holy Spirit. And there's a lot of things that take place. The church prayed and the angel showed up and picked up Peter. The church prayed and the walls trembled and they had earthquake. You look into Acts, you'll find out that it's very important. The Lord says He hears from this group of people.
Amen.
Now I'm not going to cut down individuals. Prayer goes with individuals. You know, there's some people that when they get out of bed, Satan says, oh, Lord, she's up again. Or he's up again. She's going to pray about today. Because it just messes up his plan. But when a church truly comes together of one accord in unity and they pray, things happen. Man, I don't want to get real political, but I will. I can't ever get over what happened in 2016. Nobody believed that Trump would win. I didn't even think he. I thought, man, he got a prayer. And I was kind of hoping he would. Actually, to be honest with you, I was for Ted Cruz before him. But when Ted dropped out, I'm like, well, I ain't voting for her. You know, I vote for my dog first. But you know what? I started telling people, you need to pray. Christians all over America were praying, and I watched them the night he won. They're like, what happened? And I wanted to call them up and say, it's called God. You know, you can have whatever vote you want. But if God decides, that's what takes place. That's prayer from Christians. When they turn to the Lord, things take place. We need to remember that. We need to turn to the Lord and we need to allow the Holy Spirit to control us. But honestly, we need to be praying for the filling of the Holy Spirit. And we ought to do that daily. We ought to ask the Lord to fill us with the Holy Spirit. In turn, what that does is it opens the door for the Holy Spirit to have control. Because we're submitting to Him now. That's what we need to be doing. You know, that control, I looked it up really in 5:18, the field. And it points in the direction of furnishing what we need. It does. It'll in the Greek, the word meant it's a furnishing you with what you need. If you take a glass, it's kind of the same thing in the English, to be honest with you. You ain't got no Greek and Hebrew to understand the Bible. You take a glass and you fill it up, it furnished that glass with what it was supposed to have. That's what the filling of the Holy Spirit is with us. It furnishes us for what we need to do the Lord's work. Let's go back to 2 Chronicles. And I even got it marked. Amazing. Verse 15 again. Now mine eyes shall be open. That's comforting to know that the Lord's going to open His eyes to us. My ears are attentive unto the prayer that is made in this place. He says in verse 16, "For now have I chosen and sanctified this house." When this church was started, there was prayer made for it before it ever began. And we got people all over the world that pray for Wagon Wheel. We've come a long way since I've been here. The Lord has set it aside for His house. And He said that my name may be there forever. We better hope it is. If He ever pulls the candle out of the Wagon Wheel, you need to leave.
Amen.
Because they're done. About all they're going to do is entertain people anymore. And He says, "And my eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually." Who knows what perpetually is?
Continually,
forever. The Lord's always going to be with His church.
Amen.
He said we will be here for His church. To me, that is a big blessing.
Amen.
It really is. To me, those whole verses, "Mine eyes shall be open, mine ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place." Our prayers are not just words. They're real. And they go before the throne of the Almighty God.
Amen.
The one that spoke the universe into existence. Everything that we know. My littlest granddaughters, you'll say, "What's Genesis 1:1? Just say, "Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created..." Isn't that how she said created? Yeah, create the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1. So you got to say it on both ends. Listen, He created everything that we know of. Everything. And our prayers can go before Him. What power the church can have. Amen?
Yeah.